It is May the 22nd, and it is Lag BaOmer.
Yay!
And we are continuing in Parsha Shmos. We are on page 302. In Pasuk, we have to go over again from Pasuk Zion, verse 7. We read all the way through Pasuk Tesvav, verse 15, but we need to go back over some of these Pasukim. And the last point we were discussing was Moshe having turned away when Hashem appeared to him in the burning bush. We have been focusing on the names of Hashem and how Hashem is projecting the name of Elohim to Moshe. Hashem says to Moshe in Pasuk Zion and Ches, Ches, Zion, Ches, and Tes, actually. He explains to Moshe in verses 7, 8, and 9 how he has seen the pain of the Jews and he's heard their cries and he's decided to come down and take the Jews out of Egypt and take them to Eretz Israel. And then, Pasuk Yud, verse 10, he says to Moshe that now go and I'll send you to Paro. So Moshe resists and he says, who am I? And they now have a negotiation between Hashem and Moshe about Moshe going to save the Jewish people. Now the whole idea of negotiating with Hashem is preposterous.
Oh, we can't.
if Hashem is saying something and we know that he knows everything and we don't know everything, and even what we know he knows better, and even what we're thinking he knows better, then how can anybody negotiate with Hashem, least of all Moshe, who knew Hashem or understood Hashem or had a connection to Hashem which was closer than anybody else? It is just amazing that he would have a negotiation with Hashem. Yet he does. There is a back and forth between Hashem and Moshe. So if there is a negotiation, clearly Moshe must be doing more than simply arguing, because he can't argue with Hashem. He knows better. He knows everything. It must be that in Moshe's approach, he is doing something that would change what Hashem wants. Now, how could that be? How can anybody change what Hashem wants? So we know that Hashem changes the way that he projects himself in this world based on what? Based on our actions. So if we act in one way, Hashem will project one behavior, if we can use that word for Hashem. And if we act a different way, Hashem will project a different one. One midah, one characteristic, or a different one. And so we know that when we daven, then by davening we can cause Hashem to use a different midah, a different characteristic. We can change what would have happened through our davening. We can also change what would have happened through our mitzvos. Moshe here is not simply negotiating. First of all, everything Moshe says, Hashem knows already. He can't tell Hashem something Hashem doesn't know. And Moshe can't give Hashem a new perspective. And what do you do when you negotiate? When you negotiate, either you are, how can anybody negotiate? When two people negotiate, so one says, you know, how about this? And one says, how about that? How about this? How about that? How could they be negotiating? So either the negotiation works because the two sides each have information that is introduced at some point in the negotiation, which changes with the other one, the other position. Right? You and I are negotiating about a price. So you argue that you're trying to sell me something. So you're arguing, well, this is the, you know, this is the best, this is the best stone chumash you've ever seen. You wouldn't have seen a stone chumash like this. It's, you know, it costs, you know, you name a price. So I can say back to you, what do you mean? There are four of them down the block I could get for a lower price. You know? So then I'm introducing information. Now, either you were serious about what you said before, or I was serious, maybe we're trying to trick each other, you know, but whatever it is, we're trying to introduce information the other one didn't know.
You compromise.
Or you compromise. But you can't negotiate with Hashem because He knows all the information. And there's nothing that can be introduced that He doesn't know already. And moreover, how can you refuse to do what He says? If He says to do it, you got to do it. So how can there be negotiation? So it must be that Moshe is introducing something new, but not something Hashem didn't know. Of course, Hashem knows everything. But as He is negotiating, He at that time is creating something new with what He is saying, with His, I don't want to call it davening, because this is not a formal davening, but something of that nature. Just as we have found for instance, with Yechezkel, that by his crying out to Hashem in anguish over the Jewish people, that in itself caused Hashem to soften whatever He was going to do to the Jewish people, because Yechezkel's crying out was in itself a mitzvah, because he was feeling for the Jewish people. It was a prayer, and that altered what Hashem was going to do. Here we have to understand Moshe as well is somehow, if we don't want to call it formal prayer, but is himself doing mitzvos as he is negotiating, which is what is changing Hashem's approach, as we'll see. Yes?
But this is a very early introduction to his getting to know Hashem. Where so early in this, there's not a relationship yet formed with him and Hashem. Where does he learn to do this, that he thinks he can get away with doing something like this?
How do you know he doesn't have a relationship with Hashem? Do you have a relationship with Hashem?
Yes, you do.
Yes,
we do.
Okay, but and we're not prophets. But Moshe had a relationship before he became a prophet.
But where did he learn that he could do this?
Do what?
To negotiate.
He's not, that's what I'm trying to say. He's doing, we'll see. We have to understand that he is doing mitzvahs as he's moving along over here. And we're going to understand it that way. We'll see. Now it's interesting that when the first in Pasuk, the first few Pesukim here, Zayin, Ches, Tes, and Yud, the first four verses here, 7 through 10, where Hashem is giving the background to Moshe and then telling Moshe to go to save the Jewish people. So Hashem says, I saw what's going on with the Jewish people. I've heard their cries. I know their pain. I've gone down to save them and to bring them up to a great land, etc., etc. And then Pasuk Tes, verse 9, he says, Ve'ata hinei tza'akas b'nei Yisrael ba'ei lai. Behold, now the cries of the Jews have come to me. This seems to be repetitious. In Pasuk Zion, he already says, in verse 7, he already says, Ra'o ra'isi esani ami ashev mitzrayim. I've seen what's that? Affliction, thank you. Ves tzaka sam shamati mipnei noksav. And I've heard their cries. And here he says again in Pasuk Tes, verse 9, and now the cries of the Jews have come to me. That seems repetitious. Mm-hmm. So, it would seem then that Psukim, that Pasuk Zion, verse 7, is referring to the past. Hashem is saying to Moshe, I have seen the affliction of the Jewish people, I have heard their cries, I know their pain, all of this is from, I've known their pain. This is a recounting the past 210 years, or however many years the suffering has been going on for, saying, I've seen it the whole time. It's not that I haven't heard it. I've heard it the entire time. And now, the cry has come to me, which means now is when I've decided to act upon that crying out. Until now, I've heard it. I know they're going through terrible times, but I have not done anything about it. Now, I have decided to do something about it. And so then he says in Pasuk Yud, verse 10, V'atah, now, L'chavesh l'chacha al paro, I will go and send you to paro. Go and I will send you to paro. V'hotzeyas hami v'nei yisom v'mitzrayim. And take my nation, the Jews, out of Egypt. So Moshe responds, V'yomer Moshe el ho'elokim. Moshe said to Elohim, Mi anochi ki eilech el paro. Who am I that I will go to paro? V'chiyotzeyas b'nei yisom v'mitzrayim. Will I take b'nei yisom out of Egypt? So Moshe is saying two things. First of all, he says, who am I to go to paro? It's, why would I be a person who could affect the Jews going out of Egypt? I'm not so great. That's number one. So he questions his own worth. And then he says something else. And will I take the Jews out of Egypt? Which means, the way Rashi explains it is, do the Jews deserve to leave Egypt? What is their merit to leave Egypt? This, at this point, we don't have to say there's a negotiation. This could simply be a clarification that Moshe is saying to Hashem, you want me to do it, but I don't understand. Who am I? How can I, what, who am I to have the righteousness to be the one to take the Jews out of Egypt? Basically, Hashem is telling Moshe, right now, you are the Goel. You're the Redeemer. I want you to take the Jews out of Egypt. Moshe says, me? Who am I? So, it's not so much we could understand, this is not so much questioning God, it's attempting to understand God. Why me? And, why would the Jews deserve it? So, we could understand that Moshe is not refusing and not debating, he's simply asking for understanding. That's what we could say. And the truth is, if all we had was Hashem's response to this, and then the discussion ended, that was what we could say. Really, we could get away with saying that there's no negotiation, there's no arguing, there's no debating, there's no refusing. It's just Moshe asking for clarification. The reason why it's difficult to understand it that way is because we know that this is not going to be Moshe's only response. When Hashem answers these two points, Moshe's going to come back with something else. And then Hashem's going to answer that point, and Moshe's going to come back with something else. He's going to keep going back and forth. And this goes on for 7 days. Then Moshe negotiates with Hashem. So clearly there's something going on here beyond simply, Hashem, would you please explain it? I really don't understand. Could you repeat that, please? Right? There's something more than that going on. So then if we're not going to understand it simply as a clarification, then Moshe is doing more when he says, who am I and why would the Jews deserve it? So what would he be doing? What else could be going on? If he's not simply refusing, what is he saying when he says, who am I and why would the Jews deserve to leave Egypt? What's the point in, what is he trying to get Hashem to do when he says those two things?
One sounds like humility, but and then it's kind of chutzpahdik. What did they deserve? So I don't know.
Okay. I don't know is a good answer.
Yeah. Could we procrastinate to give the Jews some merit that they would have a reason to be?
Okay, I wouldn't say procrastinating because how long can you push it off for? But you're suggesting perhaps it's going to give the Jews some merit. How would it give the Jews merit to say what he says? He says, who am I and why would they deserve to leave Egypt? So how would that give the Jews merit?
The merit of the Avos, the promise that Hashem made the covenant.
Yeah, then let him say that. How is he giving the Jews merit? By asking those questions.
Because Hashem is going to answer it.
Okay, so apparently Moshe is trying to get Hashem to answer those two questions. Right. And Hashem answering those questions is very important. Mm-hmm. Hashem articulating to Moshe why Moshe should do it and why the Jews deserve to leave Egypt is very important to Moshe. Let's read what the answer is and then let's discuss it. Hashem says to Moshe, Pasuk Yud Beis, verse 12, Vayomer, he said, Ki aya imach, for I will be with you. Now Rashi, there's two ways of understanding this pasuk, this verse. So let's take the first way that Rashi understands. He's answering Moshe's first question first. He says to him, you want to know who are you to take the Jews out of Egypt? It's not about you. It's me. You're just my pawn. You're just my agent. I'm the one taking the Jews out of Egypt. Because I will be with you. It's not you. It doesn't matter if it's you. It doesn't matter if it's anybody. I'm the one doing it. Don't worry about that. That's number one. Number two, you're asking, why would the Jews deserve to leave Egypt? Wait. I'm just getting mixed up between the two explanations. According to this explanation, the next line is still part of the first answer. And this is the sign that I have sent you. Meaning, this, the burning bush, is the sign that I have sent you. The fact that I'm appearing to you in the burning bush is in itself a sign that I have sent you, that I'm going to be with you. Just like you see that the bush is burning, but it is not being consumed, you see that I am in full control of the world. I am demonstrating I'm fully in control. Moshe knew that Hashem was fully in control. But Hashem is demonstrating that He's fully in control. Hashem says to Moshe, you're going to see that when I take the Jews out of Egypt, you're going to see miracles that make this miracle of the burning bush look like child's play. The 10 plagues, the splitting of the sea, you're going to see unbelievable things. I am going to take full control of what's going on here. It has nothing to do with you. That's answer to question number one. What about question number two? What are the Jews? Why do the Jews deserve to be taken out? Then Hashem says to Moshe, on the top of 304, "Bahotziacha es ha'amim Mitzrayim." When you take the Jews out of Egypt, "Ta'avdun es ha'elokim," you will serve God al ha'har hazeh, on this mountain.
How does that answer?
Hmm?
How does that answer?
What are the Jews? Why do the Jews deserve to be taken out of Egypt? Says Hashem, because I know that the Jews are going to accept the Torah on Har Sinai. I already know them. I know the Jewish people are going to accept the Torah. No one else is going to accept the Torah, only the Jews. And so that is why they deserve to be taken out of Egypt. Not because of great things they've done until now, but because I know that they're going to accept the Torah properly.
So he's trying to get verbal guarantees.
Well, it's more than guarantees. Cause,
I mean, assurances.
Okay, we could understand it's just assurances, but I think it's deeper than that. I think that what Moshe is doing over here is getting it to be more... He's getting it to be more... I don't want to use the word definite. Here, let's understand. Until now, Hashem said to Moshe, take them out. Okay, what's that going to mean, taking them out? Is it going to be through natural means? Through supernatural means? What is it going to mean? So Moshe says, who am I? Hashem says to Moshe, has nothing to do with you. When he says, you take them out, that sounds like it's going to be natural. You're going to be a leader. You're going to go lead a slave rebellion, which Hashem will be pulling the strings, which would have failed, but Hashem's going to make it succeed, and they're going to get out. They're going to escape from Egypt. Is that the way it's going to be? Or is it going to be, ani velo saraf, ani velo malach, me, I, not, says Hashem, not the angels, not the fiery angels, not an agent, me, I'm going to be the one who's going to take you out. It's not going to be through natural means. It's going to be supernatural from the beginning to the end. So Moshe wants to understand that. Wants that to be clarified. Let that be set in stone. Hashem says to Moshe, it's going to be me, not you. Me. And this is the sign. Look at the bush. The bush is right now burning in a supernatural way. It's not being consumed. The same is going to happen when I take them out. There's going to be some supernatural occurrences happening, and it's going to be me being totally revealed. Now, that's important, because when it's done through natural means, even though we know Hashem is behind the scenes, but Hashem is hidden, like in Megillas Esther. The word Esther meaning hidden, covered up. But when Hashem took the Jews out of Egypt, it was not covered up. It was Hashem revealed with supernatural events.
That was the only time.
That was the most significant time that Hashem revealed himself. The giving of that, and then the giving of the Torah. Yeah. So this is Moshe getting it out in the open from Hashem that this is going to be a supernatural thing. And also the fact that it will be followed up by receiving the Torah. So Moshe now has it at the outset that the Exodus, which he's being charged to do, is number one, going to be supernatural. Number two, going to be followed up with the receiving of the Torah. That's already from the outset set up. That's already made clear by Hashem to Moshe because of Moshe's questioning. Clara, you had a question?
I mean, we didn't do this just for fun.
There's no question that Hashem wanted us to learn something. Most to me, the important lesson was learning how to be subservient, because we need to be subservient to Hashem. Hashem says, "Avodai heim, they're my slaves. I took them out of Egypt to be my slaves." So there's certainly something that's being learned.
But we're always told to remember that we were strangers, that we were, you know, that is.
That's true.
How did Moshe know what a Torah was?
Well, he doesn't say Torah. He says you'll serve Hashem on this mountain.
Mm-hmm. Rabbi Kransky, that's so interesting that you can compare slavery to Pharaoh to servitude to Hashem. That's so amazing because, I mean, they're both some type of servitude, but they're so totally different. So Hashem wanted us to learn from that horrific experience how to serve Him.
The Mishnah in Pirkei Avos says that we have no choice. We are going to be under the control of another entity. The Mishnah says, one who accepts upon himself the yoke of Torah and the yoke of heaven, they remove from him the yoke of the foreign government and the yoke of Derech Eretz, which means the yoke of needing to earn a living. Those things will be removed from him if he fully accepts upon himself the yoke of Torah and the yoke of heaven. Person who throws off the yoke of Torah, the yoke of heaven, then I'll have the yoke of the government and derech eretz on him. Says a person is not going to have it's not going to live life on easy street. A person is going to have issues and things to deal with. We can choose how we want them to be. If we want them to be elevating and spiritual, then the other stuff will be taken away from us. That's what it'll be. If we throw off those obligations, then it'll come a different way. So it's one or the other.
But you do see a lot of people that have taken the yoke of heaven, and they have to deal with.
Okay, that's a good question. That's a good question.
And vice
but
versa.
That's a good vice versa. You don't see
people that.
You don't see. You don't. You do not see people. I mean, I know that people ask this as a philosophical question, but I challenge anybody to show me anybody who has a great life and there's no problems.
Right.
I just don't think
all
you see
kinds
it.
Of problems.
Right. Yeah. Fine. Now the other way to read this pasuk is that Hashem says to Moshe, answering his first question. How can I take them out? Who am I? So he says, because I'll be with you. Then Hashem says something else to him. He says, and the following is the sign that you would have been successful. If you want to know how to gauge your success, whether you took them out and it was you did it properly, everything went well or not, that will depend on when you get out of Egypt, the Jews serving me on this mountain. When you get to that point, you will look back and say, okay, I did my mission. I did what I was supposed to do. It worked out. I did it right. It's rather than it being the sign, the reason why the Jews deserve it, rather it is Moshe's sign that he has been successful in his mission. That's the other way to read this verse. That's how Rashi says both things. Be that as it may, in Pasuk Yud Gimel, verse 13, Moshe responds. Vayomer Moshe el ha'elokim. Moshe says to God, Hine anochi bo'el el b'nei Yisrael. Behold, I am coming to the Jewish people. V'amarti lohem, I'm going to say to them, Elokei avoseichem shlochani aleichem. The God of your forefathers has sent me to you. V'amru li mashamo, they'll say to me, what is his name? Mo'omar aleichem, what should I say to them? So here Moshe is attempting to have Hashem clearly articulate to Moshe what characteristic is he going to project when he takes the Jews out of Egypt. We know that Hashem is compassionate. We know that he is being compassionate in taking the Jews out of Egypt. That's for sure. But will he project compassion or not? Will he take the Jews out in a compassionate manner or in a manner that is heavy-handed? We know he's going to deal with the Egyptians in a heavy-handed manner, as the Egyptians deserved. What about the Jewish people? Now, we all know, in retrospect, that when Hashem took the Jews out of Egypt, we were dealt with very kindly by Hashem, but it was not without some judgment. We know that in the plague of darkness, at least 80% of the Jewish people died, those who didn't want to leave. So apparently, there was some judgment going on too. It wasn't simply a free pass for the Jewish people. So Moshe here is saying to Hashem, to Elohim, I'm going to tell the Jewish people that the Elohim of your ancestors has come, sent me to you. They're going to ask me, what's his name? What characteristic is he projecting? How have you seen him? So Hashem says back, Yudalad 14, Vayomer Elohim al Moshe, Ekye Asher Ekye, I will be that I will be. Then Hashem says to Moshe, Vayomer, and he says, Ko Samara Livnei Yisrael, so say to the Jewish people, Ekye Shlachani Aleichem, Ekye, I will be, has sent me before you. Vayomer Od Elohim al Moshe, Elohim said more to Moshe, Ko Samara Bnei Yisrael, so you should say to the Jewish people, Hashem Elokei Avoseichem, Hashem the God of your forefathers, Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov, Shlachani Aleichem, has sent me before you. Ze Shemi Leolam, this is my name forever. Ze Zichri Lador Dor, this is how I am remembered from generation to generation. We mentioned that Ekye means I will be. So Rashi explains that Hashem says to Moshe, tell the Jewish people, he says, what's my name? Tell the Jewish people, Ekye, I will be with you. Asher Ekye, that I will be with you. Meaning, there you are now in a situation of difficulty, of tsara, of affliction, of pain. I will be with you. But not only that I will be with you. That I will always be with you. Because in the future you'll have other times of pain and sorrow and difficulty, and I will be with you. I will always be with you. Ekye asher ekye. I am always with you. Not just now, but always. Then, that's what Hashem says to Moshe is the truth about Hashem. Ekye asher ekye. But don't say that to the Jewish people. Don't tell the Jewish people, I will be with you now, and I'll be with you in the future. No one wants to hear about future problems. We all have enough problems now. No one wants to hear that there's going to be future problems down the line. So, therefore, Hashem says to Moshe, Ko somar livnei Yisrael, this is what you should actually say to the Jewish people, Ekye shlachani aleichem. Ekye, that I will be, sent me before you, that I will be with you. Not that I'll be with you in the future, but that I'll be with you now. That's all that they need to hear. I'm telling you, Moshe, for the sake of your own understanding, that I will always be with the Jewish people. But now what they need to hear is that I'll be with them now. That's what they need to hear. But then Hashem says further. Hashem says, Elohim says to Moshe, so you should say to the Jewish people. So in addition to the previous statement, that Ekye has sent me before you, you should say this as well. Hashem Elokei Avoseichem. Hashem, the Elohim of your ancestors. Mixing the two names of Hashem. Hashem Elohim. Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov, Shlachani Aleichem. He has sent me before you. Ze Shemi Leolam, this is my name forever. Ze Zichri Lador Dor, this is how I am remembered from generation to generation. And we already pointed out last time that Ze Shemi Leolam, this is my name forever, is referring to the name Yud, and then a Hey, and then a Vav, and then a Hey. Yud Ke Vav Ke. The name of Hashem that we know, that is most descriptive of Hashem. there's other names that are more descriptive of Hashem that we don't know, but that's the name that we do know that is the most descriptive of Hashem. So Hashem says to Moshe, Zeh Shemi Le'olam, this is my name forever. But you notice the word Le'olam, the Vav is missing, which means it could be read the Vav.
Which word?
Le'olam.
Okay, yeah.
At the end of Pasuk Tezvav, the end of 15.
Yeah.
And therefore it could be read Le'olam. Olam means to hide something. Le'olam. Hide it. Hide my name. Don't enunciate my name the way it is written. The Yud and the Hey and the Vav and the Hey, we do not enunciate those words. Those that words, one word. Rather, it is said differently. This is how I'm remembered from generation to generation. I am remembered by pronouncing the word Aleph, Dalid, and then Nun, and then Yud as Adnus, rather than with Yud, and then Hey, and then Vav, and then Hey. That's the way I should be remembered from generation to generation, rather than saying it out. So Rashi explains that Hashem taught Moshe how to say Hashem's name. Yeah.
Could possibly be old.
You're pointing out that there's the root, that there's two letters there of all of yoke in there. That is interesting. That is interesting. Usually you have to incorporate the mem, but it's still, that's a good observation.
Could be their yoke.
Huh?
The mem could be their yoke.
Okay. Interesting. That's interesting. Okay. Hashem is telling Moshe that to tell the Jewish people, Hashem Elokei Avoseichem, that Hashem, the God of your forefathers, sent me to you. Now, here he is combining Hashem with Elokim. Now, if you recall, the name Yud Kei Vav Kei, let's start the other way. The name Adnus, Aleph, and then Dalet, and then Nun, and then Yud, comes from the word Adon. And Adon means?
Master.
Adon Olam. The master of the universe. Adon, the master. That's what that name means. Yud, and then Hey, and then Vav, and then Hey. Yud, Kei, Vav, Kei. It's a contraction of what? Haya, Hove, Viye. Was, is, and will be. So the way that we pronounce it is with Aleph Dalet, which means master. But the letters that are there connote was, is, and will be eternal. Has always been, has always will be. So, after telling Moshe that I will be with him now, I will be with him in the future, which means Hashem is saying to Moshe, this characteristic of my being with the Jewish people will never change. I am not going to remove myself from the Jewish people. I am binding myself with the Jewish people. I always will be with them. I'm with them now and I'll be with them in the future. I am binding myself with the Jewish people. It can never change. I will never exchange the Jewish people for another nation. I will never change who my chosen people are. I am always with the Jewish people. But don't tell them that, because the way I'm telling it to you is I will be with them in future tsaris, future trouble. You don't tell someone about future trouble when they're having trouble now. So don't tell them that. I'm telling you that. So what should you tell them? What you should tell them is Hashem Elokei Avoseichem, Hashem, the Elokim of your ancestors. Combine the two, Hashem and Elokim, but the name Hashem, don't pronounce it the way I'm telling it to you. You pronounce it Aleph Dalet, which means master. But it's spelled Hayahovaviya, was, is, and will be. Eternal. Forever. Always was, always is, always will be. The same concept of Ekyeh Asher Ekyeh, that I will be with them now and I'll be with them in the future, that same concept is echoed with Yud and then Hey and then Vav and then Hey. Was, is, and will be. Always. Constant. But don't enunciate it that way. The same way Hashem is telling Moshe, don't tell them Ekyeh Asher Ekyeh, I will be that I will be. Just mention now Ekia, I will be with them now. That's all that you should mention them now. Same thing with Hashem's name. We don't pronounce. We don't say the letters that would mean was, is, and will be. Instead, we stick with Adnos, with Master. Yeah.
With the names of Hashem, when we read on occasion, I don't know, in the Torah or other places, that somebody pronounced the name of Hashem and, you know, some like miracle occurred or what, I thought I remembered having heard there was some long name, 23 letters or something like that. So which is it, the four letters, or are there others?
So there are other names of Hashem that we are not aware of, that they did have. Okay. That it was something which could perform miracles if you utter the name, that name. One is not allowed to do that just for their own use, but there are other names. Only a select few ever knew it and were able to use it.
Okay.
But you're right.
I'm remembering correctly.
Right, you are remembering correctly. Here, this is for everybody. So Hashem says, this is my name forever. I am constant, was, is, and will be. But don't say those letters. Don't enunciate it. Instead, substitute Adnos, Aleph Dalet, Master, for the letters HaYehovah V'yeh, was, is, and will be. This is, therefore, extremely important for us to understand that although when we say the name Yod Ke Vav Ke, we say Hashem's name, especially in the Shema, one is supposed to think Master, because that's how we pronounce it, and also think HaYehovah V'yeh, He was, He is, and He will be. But we don't enunciate that because the concept of being beyond or outside of or above time is a concept that a human being cannot perceive. We can't understand what it means because our entire experience is within the confines of time. And not only a human being, angels as well are bound by time. Angels are not bound by space, but they are bound by time. Hashem is bound by neither space nor time. Therefore, the timelessness of Hashem, Haya Hove V'yeh, was, is, and will be, is something which is hidden because it is not something that we can grasp. We are intellectually aware that it's true, but we can't really grasp it. Adnos, Master, is something that we can grasp. That's something which is clear to us. We understand what it means to have a master, as the Jews certainly understood as being slaves to Paro. If there's any generation that can't or has trouble understanding the concept, that would be our generation, as we live in a generation of no sense of subservience, where the whole concept of having someone else controlling anybody is so abhorrent. We're the ones who are we have a difficulty even understanding Adnos, the mastery of Hashem. But the timelessness of Hashem has always been problematic for anybody to fully grasp because we're human beings. And we can't, by definition, can't fully grasp it. Therefore, it is not said, Yud Kei Vav Kei is not said, but the letters are there, and we are to understand that it is true. Adnos is something which we can understand. Yes?
In the Shema, isn't it the concept also that Master and Hashem, Merciful One?
Yeah, well, that's Yud Kei Vav Kei does mean merciful. Right. Now, here we also see that concept that the timelessness of Hashem expresses itself as mercy. Because Ekia Asher Ekia, which is also a concept of always being, I will be with you now, I'll be with you in the future. I'm always there. That, how is he saying it? I'll be with you to take care of you in your tzara. That Hashem is always there. The timelessness reflects compassion. Whereas din, judgment, is in the name Elohim. The name Elohim does not suggest timelessness. So that you see already that Hashem's midah, his characteristic of compassion, is more. It's so hard to talk about it, but it's more. It's closer to what we fully understand of Hashem than that of judgment. We know that Hashem has a characteristic of being a judge, and we know that Hashem has the characteristic of being compassionate. We know they're both true. But the compassionate characteristic, if you want to say it's stronger, you want to say it's more basic of what Hashem is. Again, the reason why this is so difficult even to articulate is because A, we don't know Hashem's essence. Whatever we know only scratches the surface. There's no way for us to know Hashem's essence, number one. And number two, as I mentioned last time, we have to reiterate it, there's no such thing as an internal struggle for Hashem. Hashem is not struggling between whether to be compassionate or be judge or to be judgmental. We struggle with that. We are faced with a situation where somebody does something. Should we be compassionate? Should we be judgmental? That's difficult. What should we judgment, justice or compassion? And both have merit. Both have merit. It depends on the situation. And we struggle with which should be applied when, both in a familial setting and in a social setting and in a national setting. When do we apply compassion? When do we apply justice? That's a human struggle. And it's very, very hard to know sometimes what the right approach is. Hashem never struggles. Hashem doesn't have to struggle. But Hashem does sometimes exercise judgment and sometimes exercises compassion based on what he decides is the best. The fact that the name that is more indicative of the, I don't even want to say of the essence of Hashem, because we don't know that, but the one that is more, that is closer to what Hashem really is, the fact that that name is the name of compassion, and the name that is further from what Hashem is the name of justice, indicates that compassion is the stronger or the more important or the more basic characteristic of Hashem, whatever that means. But they're both true. So Hashem tells Moshe, tell the Jewish people both names. Hashem, the Elohim of your ancestors, has sent you. They're both true, but Hashem is more basic. Yeah.
I remember reading, I think it was in the beginning of the Torah, or some place, that it said that Hashem saw that if he judged the people with din, that we wouldn't survive. Right. So he chose compassion. So I'm questioning whether, you know, so was it din first?
The Gemara says that Bitchila Allah b'machshava. Initially, it entered thought to create the world b'midas hadin, with the characteristic of judgment, justice. But Hashem saw the world wouldn't survive, so shataf imo midas harachamim. He combined with it the characteristic of compassion, of mercy. Now that does not mean that Hashem thought one thing, then started, and then realized, oh, you know what? It's not going to work out. So he changed his mind. It's impossible. Hashem knows everything. He can't make a mistake. That's by definition impossible. So rather, the Medrash is coming to teach us that it would have been best if we could handle pure justice. That would have been the better way for mankind to fulfill its purpose in this world. But since that is impossible, Hashem had to include compassion. Now, that would seem to indicate that instead it is din, judgment, that is more the, I don't want to again use the word essence, but more the, more closer to the ideal rather than compassion. But that's not so. All you see from there is that we, human beings, would be greater people, as we've mentioned in the past, if we could live with pure justice. A person who can live with pure justice, who doesn't need the compassion to save him, would reach a higher level of closeness to Hashem. But the very fact that we can't survive on pure justice, and the very fact that as a result Hashem says that I am going to include mercy, shows that mercy is more important than justice, or at least is closer to the ideal. Why? Because, think about it, wouldn't the characteristic of justice demand that you create the world? Justice is the best way. If people can live up to the scrutiny of justice, then the world will become a perfect place, a more perfect place. If people can't live up to that ideal, then they won't. That's what justice demands. Justice demands that you do justice. So you create the world. The people are expected to live up to the ideal of justice. They can't. Fine. Then the world will be destroyed. That's all. There's no wiggle room. That's what justice says. Justice says, Din says, it's this way or no way. That's what Din says. The very fact that because of the fact that we can't handle Din, Hashem included Rachmanus, Chesed, mercy, compassion, the very fact that He did that indicates that it is more important that we survive than that we reach the ideal. That reflects Midas Harachamim. That reflects mercy more than anything else. That would seem to indicate that it's closer to what Hashem is about when you talk about Rachamim than when you talk about Din. That's what it seems to indicate.
So He could have created us then to be that way, because from the very beginning we weren't.
Sure.
No,
we have freedom of choice.
So what is your question?
So why
didn't He create us in a way where we could handle Din?
Yeah.
Right. So
is that the goal? Is that why?
It is the goal. It is the goal. The goal is to get to a point where we don't need Rachamim.
Really?
Most of us never reach it. But that would be the goal.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Because it's a higher level.
So that was on purpose then, you think?
Yeah. Yeah, the way Hashem created it was 100% on purpose. It has to be. It's impossible to say that He changed His mind.
But I think because we have that compassion, we can do teshuva.
True.
And jump from, oh, I did this, oh, I can do
that. Because we need it. But a higher level would be that a person never has to do that.
Yeah.
Right? A person would be perfect.
Yeah.
Right? We can't live that way. We're not on that level. But that would be the ideal.
But I'm saying on the justice, we wouldn't have that option to do teshuva.
Correct.
That's it.
But we wouldn't need it.
We didn't need it. If you did everything right, you don't need to apologize.
We wouldn't learn
some people
it
don't
so
do
well,
that anyway.
I think you know, that's what humans...
Okay. I mean, we human beings are not perfect. That's...
And we learn. We go through a process of learning from life.
Correct. Correct.
I guess I'm just thinking, could have been easier.
Am I
going to
go wrong?
So Hashem tells Moshe to tell them I will be with them, and then to tell them that the names are Hashem and Elohim. Both are at work over here. There is the Rachamim, the mercy, and there's also the Elohim, the Din. They're both at work in this process. And that will bring us then to Pasuk Tezayin, verse 16, where Hashem essentially says to Moshe, okay, now that we got that out of the way, you got the clarification that you wanted, now let's move on to the direct the details of what I want you to do. Moshe's not ready yet. He's still going to go back and forth. Yeah.
One question that keeps haunting me here is, he keeps saying the God of your forefathers,
mm-hmm.
not the God of our forefathers.
Well, you mean because when Moshe is supposed to say you're to the Jewish people?
Yeah.
Okay, that's a good question. That's a good question.
But maybe they didn't know he's a Jew. I don't know.
No. They knew. They knew. They knew.
But it's also redundant, as I mentioned last week. If you already say Avos.
Yeah, well, they're specifying the individuals after. It seems like each one individually has something else to add. You would prefer they would say Hashem Elokei Avoseinu. Yeah. Okay, that's a good question.
But it's appeared several times.
Yeah. It's going to keep on happening too. That's a good question. They did know he was Jewish. It could be because he wasn't a slave.
He didn't look like that.
No. They knew who he was. But the fact is that Hashem wasn't saving him from slavery. Hashem was saving the rest of the Jews from slavery.
Yeah, I keep trying in my mind to picture somebody suddenly appeared here and said, you know, the God of our forefathers sent me to you versus the God of your forefathers.
Right. It seems to take
on. He's not a part of them.
Right.
But he hasn't been there, so he isn't.
Right. That could be. Okay, we're going to stop here because I need to get to Mincha. This will be hopefully the last week we stop a little bit early. So we'll start next week, Mirz Hashem, from Tez Zayin from 16.
Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.